The Pat Kenny Show on News Talk.
Thanks to SpiritMotorGroup.ie. With secure online payments, buying your next used car has never been easier. With Spirit Motor Group.
Now, it's not just in the US that we're seeing protests taking place after the death of George Floyd in Minneapolis. Marches are being planned and some have already taken place here in Ireland too, including last weekend's Black Lives Matter protest in Dublin, where an estimated 5,000 people attended. Rise and Socialist TD for Dublin South West, Paul Murphy, is on the line. Paul, good morning.
Morning, Pat. Thanks for having me on.
Now, you want the government to take action in solidarity with what is going on in America. What do you want the government to do?
Yeah, I think what's happening in the US is obviously utterly horrifying, starting with the murder of George Floyd, who unfortunately is just another of, you know, hundreds of black men, women and children killed by either racist vigilantes or racist police in this case. But in particular, the, you know, protests which have rightly risen up against that act and against systemic racism in US society, the way those protests have been met by just incredible repression. I mean, at this stage, you have over 10,000 protesters have been arrested. You have very widespread use of rubber bullets against protesters. You have the targeting of journalists, of medics. You have widespread use of tear gas, protesters being crammed into very tiny areas. I mean, it's really incredible what is taking place. It is akin to the kind of repression that you'd see in a more openly authoritarian society. And I think it's vital that the Irish government takes a stand against that, that shows the world that we're on the side of the majority of the American people who are against Trump's actions, on the side of those who are protests. And I think the most effective way to do that is to call in the ambassador to explain that we stand against the actions of the government that he represents, of Donald Trump. We stand with the protesters. We say that Black Lives Matter, and that until peaceful protesters are not being, you know, driven off the streets in a militaristic way, well, then he isn't welcome in this country to represent Donald Trump. And that would send a signal, you know, right around the world. It would send a signal to Irish Americans. It would send a signal in other European countries. It could become an act that is therefore taken by other governments and that adds pressure on the Trump regime to let up on the kind of repression that is going on.
Expelling an ambassador is a very extreme thing to do. And when you look at the protests, many of them, most of them, in fact, are peaceful. And where you have looting and general gougerism going on, the police will react as police forces do. The difference being, I suppose, it's in multiple locations rather than simply one. I mean, if you've got rioting in Los Angeles and looting going on, the National Guard or the local police forces will take action. The difference here is that action has been taken on multiple fronts. But it doesn't change the fundamentals that police forces do what they have to do to keep law and order. And maybe they're doing it with the say-so of Donald Trump, but that's what they have to do.
Well, look, this started with violence. It started with violence, and people should go and force themselves to watch, you know, a police officer kneeling on George Floyd's neck for very close to 10 minutes after a point that he had passed out, after the point at which they had called the ambulance for him. He continued to kneel on his neck. I mean, incredible violence against this man. People should, it's on YouTube, people should go and watch it. And
so that's not the starting point. Paul, it's not as if he was given a free pass. I mean, first of all, he lost his job immediately. Then he was charged with third degree murder and apprehended. Now that's been upgraded to second degree murder. And on top of that, have the other three who stood idly by being charged with complicity in the death of George Floyd. So it's not as if we're looking at a place where the justice system does not work. I mean, it is going through the motions of working.
The only reason that he has now been charged, and now it's good that the others are being charged, is precisely because of the protests. There was no indication of that happening before. You had a leak of a state autopsy which attempted to blame kind of pre-existing conditions within George Floyd for the fact that you know, a man kneeling on his neck and him screaming "I can't breathe," or attempting to scream "I can't breathe," that he died from that. And then the family had their own autopsy done, and I think the protest is what forced them to arrest the police officer to try to, you know, be seen to do something. But the other thing I'd say, again, people should go on YouTube and watch the videos. I mean, peaceful protesters are being attacked by the police right across the country. I mean, just outside the White House, Donald Trump had protesters very brutally and, you know, purely peaceful protesters, no allegation of anything else, purely peaceful protesters outside the White House, brutally removed by the police so that he could stride across to a church to hold up a Bible in his hand. I mean, he has threatened to send fully armed soldiers into states across America to repress the protests. This is well beyond the norms of, like, capitalist policing of protests. It's incredible levels of repression. It deserves a significant response.
All over the world, there are other targets we could have a go at. If you look at China, for instance, and the persecution of the Uyghur population, the Falun Gong for many years have been persecuted by the Chinese authorities. So why not turf them out too?
Absolutely. I mean, I think at moments where, for example, when you had very, you know, horrific repression happening of the protesters in Hong Kong, it would absolutely have been appropriate to take a similar act. But where you have, you know, world stories emerging about, you know, repression, horrific acts by government, it is appropriate that the government takes action like this. And to be clear, that in doing so in terms of America, it isn't at all to say we don't want to have any connection with the American people. It isn't at all having anything against the American people. It's precisely saying, no, we stand in solidarity with those people who are in the streets, those people who are protesting, saying Black Lives Matter, protesting against, you know, the murder of black people, and are standing up against police repression. And, I mean, there was an opinion poll came out in the last couple of days which showed that 64% of people in America support the protesters. So in taking such an action, we actually would be standing in line with the majority of Americans who disagree with what's happening. I mean, there's, you know, Trump is talking about using the so-called the Insurrection Act to send literally the military into states that don't agree to the level of repression that he demands. And, you know, even his own defense secretary has come out in disagreement with it.
And indeed, we covered that this morning, Paul. But the question is that the American people, come November, will have their chance to get rid of him. I mean, that's the point. They will. It is a democracy in the United States. If they don't like the way Donald Trump is behaving, in a few short months, they'll have the opportunity to get rid of them. But if it turns out that they don't get rid of him, what then? Because that would indicate that a majority of American people approve of the way he's behaving.
Yeah, I mean, I suspect that they will get rid of him. I think he's going further and further to the right in response to these protests. You know, it's more and more openly authoritarian and so on. So I suspect that they will, although I think many of them will rightly feel that Joe Biden isn't really much a very good alternative, representing the Democratic establishment and so on. And I think it's, you know, a real shame that Sanders isn't a candidate. But I would say that just because someone is elected as president, and I mean, Donald Trump didn't even win the popular vote, but whatever, that's the system. It doesn't then mean that they have a right to do whatever. That isn't what democracy means. That, well, once you have power for 4 years, you can just crack down on protests, you can do whatever you want. That isn't what it means. People still have the right to engage in democracy, which isn't just a thing that happens once every 4 years. It's also about people's right to freedom of assembly, to freedom of speech, to come out and organize protests and attempt to stand up against a government that is acting in such a way, and against, you know, a whole series of police forces that are acting in such a way. And in terms of, like, you know, historic discrimination and oppression of black people, you know, the figures in terms of income and so on are very striking. In terms of incarceration, you know, the rates of incarceration, the rates of death,
one of my
all
listeners,
of that.
Though, one of my listeners just says, what has America to do with us? These are domestic affairs in America. They are sorting them out for good or for ill. It's their system. Why are we getting involved?
Because I don't want to live in a world where we say it's okay that, you know, black people are being killed in the US by the police, that protesters are being beaten off the streets, that journalists are being targeted, etc., that children are being, you know, pepper sprayed and tear gassed. I don't want to live in a world where we say, well, that's another country. That's nothing to do with us. But I think it's our duty to speak up.
You know, there are officers who came under massive pressure during their attempts to stop the rioting. And one of the listeners says, you know, you've got to call it a riot if it's a riot. Protest is protest, and much of it was peaceful protest, exercising their First Amendment rights, freedom of speech and freedom of assembly and all the rest of it. But there are rioters as well who have a different agenda to the protesters. Sometimes it's material. They want to get stuff out of the stores that they break into, but others just enjoy the anarchy of the whole thing.
But I think to talk about it in those terms would not be to represent fairly what's taking place in the US. I mean, what is taking place in the US is huge, massive protests. Those protests are then often being met with very severe repression by police, and then conflict between police and a section of protesters who respond to the violence of the police. But what is happening is a rising up from below of people of color, of white people, Native Americans, against the kind of inequality, the discrimination, the oppression. And I think you have to take a stand, and you have to take a stand, you know, on the side of those who are fighting for what I consider to be justice and equality and so on in that, and to speak out against the kind of repression that we're seeing, and not to allow, you know, protesters this narrative to say,
what do police forces do? I find myself in an unusual situation of maybe defending the forces which committed the original offence, in other words, the police force. But they're all different, and they're all controlled by different police chiefs and by different elected officials who can appoint everyone from the sheriff down in police forces. But if you are faced with people who are breaking into shops and supermarkets and so on, what is a police force to do? Is it to allow everyone to go about their rioting business, torch places and so on, or are they obliged to intervene?
Well, I think if you look in a few places, the police have taken a knee, you know, like Colin Kaepernick and others, in solidarity with the protesters whenever protests have taken place. In most instances, to be honest, that seems to have been a tactic by police to kind of avoid, you know, confrontation and so on. But where that has happened, well, at least initially, when, as long as the police haven't then turned over to, like, you know, engage in violence against the protesters, actually the people who are protesting have welcomed that. So if, you know, I think police officers in the US should refuse to be turned and used as violent instruments against the protesters. I think they precisely should take a knee
about rioters. What are they to do about rioters? And there is a difference between protest. We saw the peaceful protest, which was turned into conflict by William Barr and Donald Trump in Washington, D.C. But there was no evidence at all of any violence there. That was the forces of the state turning a quiet situation into a nasty one. But in situations where there is rioting, where people are taking advantage of crowds and so on to do their own thing, what are police forces supposed to do?
But
are they supposed to just
walk
back and do nothing?
I think you'll find, if you look into each of these specific situations, that rioting or looting or whatever doesn't just happen. It flows from, obviously, one, a systemic oppression and, like, a looting of US capitalism over an extended period of time, starting with Native Americans and then going on through slavery. But it also starts more immediately with violence by police against protesters and then a reaction of protesters, etc. So I think if you you know, if you stop us at any point at the root, if one, obviously the original murder doesn't take place, well, then we aren't here. But two, if then you had immediate action and the arrest of these four officers for murder, well, then it also, we also aren't here. But three, even at this point, if you didn't have the state forces engaging in the sort of violence that they're engaging in protesters, well, then you wouldn't have the kind of conflicts and so on that flow from that. Like, but, all but, of but, this comes back there, to the actions
are,
of the state.
There are rioters, and you may have seen some of the protesters actually stopping the rioters going into shops.
Mm-hmm. And, that
and you may also have seen the footage of some of the protesters handing a rioter over to the police.
Sure, and there are allegations that there are, like, you know, undercover police force and so on acting as looters or rioters or whatever in order to give protesters a bad name. Obviously, I'm not on the ground. I don't know the details of all of this. But from any of the stories that I have looked into, the... you know, those who are rising up in the US are doing so as protesters, and violence is being instigated by, you know, various sorts of police force in a brutal way. And I think that's what we should focus on. I think if that wasn't happening, well, then a whole series of consequences don't flow from that. And I think that's what the Irish government and the Irish people need to take a stand against.
People are wondering whether you have a consistent record in all of this. Sean asks, did Paul Murphy call for the Russian ambassador to be expelled after the shooting down of the Malaysian airliner and the poisoning and assassination of various journalists and opposition politicians?
We called for the Russian ambassador to be expelled at a point whenever the chemical weapons were being used in Ghouta in Syria. So I am consistent. There is no, you know, I'm not some pro-Russian.
Why not when something internal to Russia happens? Are you not as concerned about that internal event? I mean, Syria is an international event and we all have an interest in that. But in terms of the domestic affairs of Russia, we know about opposition politicians being targeted and all sorts of nefarious events happening. But that's internal. And, you know, you probably have not been calling for the Russian ambassador to be expelled for those kind of things.
But I have, like, a consistent record of speaking out against Russian oppression, including internal oppression. This is funny because Michal Martin at some stage, I think last year or 2 years ago, said, oh, you know, these people, they're never critical of Russia. And I was able to go back and look at my record in the European Parliament and look at the five or six occasions that I used time in the European Parliament to speak out against oppression of protesters, LGBTQ protesters, democracy protesters, trade unionists in Russia. And I found zero record of Fianna Fáil doing so. So I believe me, I am consistent in terms of opposing oppression, authoritarianism,
but in terms of expulsion of ambassadors. As I say, the expulsion of an ambassador is an extreme thing because it stops diplomatic communication effectively. You know, to call for that is much more serious, if you don't mind me saying so, than making a contribution to a European Parliament debate.
Certainly, but you will find, if you go back and look at the record and look at the press statements and so on, that when these sort of events happen, I am not shy about calling for action at a diplomatic level up to and including the expulsion of ambassadors. But if you look at what happened whenever the Irish government did expel Russian diplomats, they made the point at the time that this is not a decision made against the Russian people. In fact, it's a decision that was made in solidarity with the UK government at that point in time. And so that's the point I would make, is that if we made this decision now on the US, we would clearly indicate this is not an anti-American thing whatsoever, that in fact it is a decision in favour of the American people, but it's which American people? It's those who are peacefully protesting as opposed to those who are doing the oppressing and repressing.
Well, November will tell all. Paul Murphy, Rise and Socialist TD, thank you very much for...